So like I said earlier, each community is different, and we did read the Bible in English, and my father has an English-German Bible. He didn't get it until maybe I was 14 or 15, but he does read it. And I read, you know, the German Bible growing up, because my dad didn't have the English-German until later. And then I had the Gideons when I was in third grade, and I prayed the Sinner's Prayer many times, maybe 50 times at least, hoping that I'd get saved somehow. I did do a mailbox Bible club when I was 12. It came in the mail. And you did from Adam and Eve all the way through to Jesus Christ. And you send that back, and they send you the second letter. And it kept saying, is Jesus your Savior? And I said, no, he isn't, because I thought I'd have to be baptized in order to be saved. But the last time the lesson came, I was like, well, I do want to get saved so badly. And, you know, so I'm just going to do what the letter says. I'm going to pray the way it says. And, you know, then I thought, well, am I saved now? I'm not sure. Am I different? I'm not sure. Well, I'm just, hopefully I'm saved now. And but life went on, and, you know, I was in a lot of sin, and so my sinful life continued until I was 25. We got married when we were 20, and I was, the Amish church, you have an opportunity to be baptized every 2 years, and that's a long ordeal, you know, maybe 6 months before you get baptized of instruction class, and I thought, okay, I'm 17, I don't want to follow the rules yet, so I want to get baptized, I want to get to heaven, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to get baptized and say I'm going to follow the rules and then break the rules. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'll wait until I'm 19. Hopefully Jesus doesn't come back before I die. I was born in 80, so this is 1997. If I wait 2 years, that's 1999. I'll probably make it because 1,000 years is like one day, and so this is 6,000 years. I'll probably be okay until 1999, and I'll get baptized that summer, my brother and I both, and maybe my sister, hopefully my nephew. I'm not sure where he's going to be. He's probably going to be 15. Maybe he won't make it through till Jesus comes. And got baptized, no peace. I told God, I said, well, this must be peace, you know, because I had asked my mother, when do I get peace? And she said, well, some people get it when they're baptized. Some people don't get it till years later. So when I was baptized, I didn't have any peace yet, but I made myself believe that this is now peace. Because if I don't have it now, it might not be until years later. And life continued. We got married, and I said, we want to do something different for our family. We're going to have family devotions. Growing up, we did prayer book in the morning, prayer book at night, and that was the extent of our family devotions. But we actually started reading the Bible in German, and she read hers in English because she was a school teacher, and the Gideons give the school teachers an English Bible. But I read mine in German because German is the holy language, and I'm going to stick to the good language. But I started in the beginning, and I got down to Leviticus, and it's German, and I'm unconverted, and it just said, this is it. I put it up on the shelf and said, you know, that's it. So every other Sunday, like most Amish people do, I'd read the Bible. And occasionally I'd read it on the off Sunday, but I was busy making money. And by the time I'm 25, I had 3 businesses, and I was very successful. And but that summer, we started searching because we had some friends that were being excommunicated for going to some meetings. And these meetings, I didn't know what they were about, but supposedly, anyways, they were getting excommunicated. And we got interested. We said, well, what is truth? I remember one morning saying, I feel like Pilate. You know, before Jesus was there to be judged by him. And he finally said, what is the truth, you know, to Jesus? And I was feeding the cows one morning, and I said, that's how I feel, exactly like Pilate. What is truth, anyway? Because I never understood how, you know, okay, Jesus died on the cross, and hopefully he's going to save me somehow, but how? And then, you know, the other thing I didn't understand was how can men make up a rule, and if you break that rule, it's a sin. You have to confess it before you can have communion. That's what Amish people go through. Have I kept the rules? No, I broke this one and this one. Well, I should confess it before I have communion. Because they'll teach you that if you prepare yourself and you have communion, then it can be exactly the way it was the day you were baptized. When you were baptized, your sins were all washed away. Every one of them. All the sins you committed up to baptism are now washed away. You're pure. And when you have communion, you can have that same thing happen. All your sins again will be washed away. So every communion, you're like, I should confess it. I know I should. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up my cell phone. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. So I'm not going to confess it and then go back to my cell phone. And I was like, how can people make a set of rules and they say it's sin if you do that? What I couldn't understand was they could change the rule and it wouldn't be sin anymore. And I said, surely God is more holy than this. And I said, what is truth? And I told one of my Amish friends about it. And he said, well, I met a man this morning who held up his Bible, and he said, "This book is my rule book. Whatever it says, I will do it." And I said, "I'd like to meet that man, because I believe he'll have answers for me." We met him, started going to Bible study. There was two groups of Amish people in our area that were going to Bible study, and they were separate groups, didn't know each other, had separate teachers, and we were introduced to both of them through different people, and we went every week to a Bible study, which was forbidden, and we knew we could get excommunicated for going to Bible study, but we wanted the truth. And we started hearing, each group was teaching that it's by faith. They were teaching on faith, grace, forgiveness of sins, and the new birth, and I kept hearing this, and I thought, so, our parents were coming to us and saying, you know, "You're going to Bible study, you know, this is, you know, this is not going to be, you know, this is not right." But we continued, and I sat at my table one morning and I said, "If what I'm hearing, that Jesus died, and that's what saves me, not what I do, then I'm wrong. Because I believe it's Jesus died on the cross, plus me becoming a good person. And if I can become a good person, God will let me into heaven. So if I'm hearing correctly, he's saying Jesus died and that's it. But I don't believe that way. So if I'm wrong, that means the people who taught me, which would be my parents, would also be wrong because I only believe what they said. And they only believe what their parents told them." And I said, "If I'm wrong, there's a lot of people wrong in Lancaster County." And I said, "That's impossible. I mean, we help the poor people. We've got farms. We're, you know, good people, supposedly." And I said, "I know what, that's a false prophet that's teaching me. We've always been warned about those people that carry the Bible. You stay away from those people, they'll deceive you." And that's what it is. He's a false prophet. So, but I kept searching, and God kept working. And I read a book one day about Christians in China, written by Harvey Yoder in 2000, Wang Ping Sacrifice. And it was a Saturday night at 8:20, I started reading this book, and the love of God compelled me to him that night. I kept reading about how these Christians love each other, and they love the people, and they're willing to die, and I never thought that I could ever be a martyr. I mean, I wanted to be a martyr, but, you know, could I stand up to their forefathers? But that night, I humbled myself, and I said, "I don't have what real Christians do." And I said, "All my life, I believe that God would let me come to heaven because, I mean, okay, I thought I'd go to hell for a couple of months. Because I wasn't good, but I wasn't bad in my eyes, and surely God wouldn't punish me forever. I mean, I'm Amish, and I've done the best that I knew, and so I just made myself believe lies. But that night I said, you know what, I'm not a good person. I deserve hell. I've done bad things in my life. But God, could you change me? Could you make me like those people are in that book? That's the last time that I had to ask God to save me."
I wanted that peace too when I was growing up, and I felt the heaviness of my sin. I didn't understand sin, but I felt sinful, and I was. But I wanted to know if I could go to heaven when I died, and I became depressed just with all the feeling the weight of my sin, but not understanding. And if you've ever been in an Amish service, you know the heaviness that just hangs over there. And I felt that heaviness. I was bound by that heaviness. And I became very depressed. I couldn't think straight. I had a lot of confusion in my life. The worst of that was probably when I was 12, 13, 14, 15. I was out of school, and I didn't really have a vision in my life. It was before I started with the youth group. I didn't really have a purpose. And I was so depressed. My mom took me to the doctor one time because she thought something was seriously wrong with me. I thought I had cancer or something. And the doctor didn't find anything wrong. He said, "She's depressed." And my mom said, "That's just what they say when they don't know what else to say." So, and thankfully, I'm very thankful that I wasn't put on medication. And when I was going through that stage, my mom started doing some elderly care for an older woman. She was on her deathbed. And through that, I was with her, and I met this woman's pastor. I don't know. I have no idea what denomination. I remember his name yet. I guess it struck a chord with me. He was a pastor, and he should have the answers for me. Somehow, that's what I thought. And a few days later, I was at home alone, and I was feeling so discouraged and so depressed and so desperate. I went to the phone, walked out the fuel lane to the phone shanty, and I looked up this name, And I called him. But by that time, I was shaking almost as much as I'm shaking now. I was shaking so much. And I was so afraid. And he answered the phone. And I just blurted out the only thing. I just said, how do you become a Christian? I started crying. I couldn't think straight. I was so embarrassed and so afraid someone would find out that I was making this phone call. And so he did a great job. He explained salvation, but by that time I just couldn't think anymore. I was so afraid. He asked if he could come see me or ask for my phone number, and I said, please, I was afraid he would come and my parents would find out. I just hung up. And to this day, I hope I meet him someday, but I would love to tell him. I think he's been praying for me, and I'd like to thank him for that. But to this day, I don't think he knows that that girl that called got saved, found the Lord. So, but at but fast forward a few, we got married. While I was in the youth group, I kind of forgot some of those struggles. I had other things in my life now. I had a vision, maybe not a good vision, but I had a purpose in my life. And we got married. I would love to tell more about that, but we'll skip over that. And when I was, expecting our fourth child, with each baby, I just had serious depression. I wasn't saved yet, and I still had these same fears, and they got worse. And we started going to Bible study, and I wanted to know the Lord. So I was, that summer when we started going to Bible study and prayer meetings, I thought I was saved. I didn't know. I struggled sometimes. And the one night we went to some neighbors, and those 3 days there, I was in bed most of the time because I was so, so, so depressed. And I couldn't function. No one knew in the Amish that I was struggling, because if they would come to my door, I would put on this cheerful face and just pretend everything's okay. But I was so depressed, I almost felt suicidal. And I was asking the Lord, why now? Because we're going to Bible study, we're having these prayer meetings, and this is what I want, this is what I wanted all my life. Why am I feeling this way now? It's worse than it's ever been before. I felt like this cloud was around me. I couldn't live. It was like I could feel this darkness. It was awful. So that night we went to some Amish believers, secret believers. We all were secret believers. And before I knew what was happening that night, all the adults in the group decided they needed to be rebaptized. This subject had come up prior to this evening, and this evening, they decided, the Bible says we need to get baptized. We're getting baptized tonight. I realized that I wasn't ready for this. I could not pretend before the Lord that I was saved when I didn't know if I was. So it made me desperate enough that I opened up. I broke through that pretense, and I told a sister there that I don't know if I'm saved. And she said, well, why don't we just pray about it? And we prayed, and I don't even remember what I prayed, but I just know that God did something in my heart that night. That depression that I felt was gone. I didn't realize until on the way home that it was, I could live now. That depression it was gone. It was lifted. And there was no way that I could have done that. But I felt forgiven. Oh, and I was baptized with the rest that night then.
Pennsylvania Dutch God's